Welcome to episode 276 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, Elizabeth, and Lindsay. The coronavirus has been all over the news lately, and you may be wondering what that could mean for your upcoming travel. Full disclosure, the news on this is changing daily, and while we aim to bring you the most up-to-date information, this podcast is recorded in advance. We recommend you talk to your agent about the most current info for your situation. In the meantime, we wanted to try to answer some basic questions, so let's get started. So who wants to start? What exactly do we know?
I'll start. So we know this originated in December in China. Wuhan, Hubei province in China. And that whole city of like 11 million people has been quarantined and locked down since then. So it's so far we kind of know that it's not like more people are dying from the flu, but they are very worried about this spreading. Not exactly sure where it came from. That's kind of what we know right now. We know that some airlines have stopped flying to China till late April to try to avoid spreading this further.
Well, and even the State Department has changed the advisory levels several times since.
They have, and they brought home diplomats who were over there and families and stuff like that, Americans, so that they weren't stuck in the quarantine city.
So basically what we know is it's serious and it's scary.
Pretty much.
And I have a friend over there, and he actually, they opted to stay. Basically, they've been kind of quarantined themselves to their own apartment, and groceries are delivered, and they basically go down to the front, pick up their groceries, and go back up into their apartments. And there's nobody in the squares, nobody in the streets, nobody's in the factories.
Yeah, and I think I read something about Apple is warning about shortage on iPhones, and New York Times said something about that the ripple effect of this is that all the Chinese tourists that are normally a big part of the economy.
So I happened to be watching the news today, and they had a doctor on from, I think it was Vanderbilt University in Tennessee, and he was talking a little bit about corona versus the standard flu that we all know. And one of his comments was with the flu, because it's airborne, people within 6 feet of you can catch it that way. Do we know anything about this as far as how it's transferred? Is it airborne? Is it by touch?
It is airborne from what I understand. I know I've been watching the updates for the Diamond Princess, the Princess cruise ship that's been quarantined off the coast of Japan. And they were recommending that you not come within 3 feet of people. Stand back, wear a mask, don't interact, don't touch, that kind of general hygiene type stuff. But those people are quarantined in their rooms. So
yeah, they have fresh air walks where they can go out for fresh air, but yeah, they are quarantined. But I think too, and again, we're not doctors, we don't even play them on TV. So we can't really speak exactly for this, but I think part of it is they don't really know. Like they don't know quite enough about this yet. So they have to be
They're quarantining for 2 weeks, but they're not sure that might not be long enough. And you can be asymptomatic. People who are testing positive are not showing any symptoms or may not even really get all that sick. So it affects people differently, but people with like weakened immune and elderly and young are the ones most in danger. Kind of like the flu. Mm-hmm. Flu's like that too.
Well, they did say that there's a huge mental toll right now on those cruise ship passengers because some of them have balconies and at least they can, stick their heads out for fresh air. But the people in the interior cabins are in there, many, many, many hours a day and they're going a little stir crazy.
I actually thought I had heard on the news that they were being transferred. They were being moved. that the Americans were flying home, the ones who were either in either the 14 who were tested positive, but they were not showing symptoms, or the ones who were not, did not test positive, flew home for an additional quarantine.
And I, and it's changing fast too, because like we're recording on a Monday, and Friday that wasn't the case. So by the time this airs, it could be totally different.
Well, and those people did come home. They did come back to the United States, but they're not going home.
Right.
Right. No, no, they're spending an additional quarantine for 14 days was what I had heard on the news, and in a military base. I think two bases, one in California and one in Texas.
That's what I read.
Yep. Well, and some of them, some people stayed behind because they had loved ones now that are in the hospital because they've been transferred off the ship and put into quarantine in the hospital. And they didn't want to leave because their spouse is there.
Yeah.
So as far as what has this affected so far, I believe there's two ships that have been affected by this.
So Westerdam is Holland America, and then the Diamond Princess. And the Diamond Princess has canceled, I want to say, up through the end of April, because they have to disinfect the entire ship.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have to bleach everything.
I can't remember if it was Holland or Princess I was reading. I feel like it was Princess, that all of their Southeast Asia cruises, they're canceling for the next like couple of months. So people are getting refunds for that and things like that.
I just had the opportunity to speak to Viking this past week. I have a client who was scheduled to sail in September who has decided to cancel. So that was Japan and Hong Kong. And I will say that, you know, that decision, you know, that they are going to lose a little bit of money on that because of the way the insurance does and doesn't cover outbreaks like this. So that's, again, something you have to talk to your agent about and find out. But Viking told me that they'd rerouted. They had a few cruises that were going to be touching mainland China that no longer are. But other than that, they haven't had to do much. And when they rerouted, they didn't go to another place. They just took a day at sea. And they basically are really only looking at this point, they're looking to June. Like they don't know what's going to happen. So they're sort of taking it one step at a time, which I assume all the cruise lines are doing. I just happened to have a chance to talk to Viking. So they're taking it very seriously, no doubt, and as well they should be.
Aren't they also restricting, like they're not letting any passengers from China onto any ships?
Anyone who's been to China in the last 14 days.
Oh, I had seen 20.
Oh, yeah. And that's not just for those particular cruise lines. That's every single cruise line. Every client I've had sailing on wherever they're going, I've gotten that email for them. If you've been to mainland China in the last 15 days.
To correct what I was saying, to make it a little bit more accurate, CLIA's recommendation, which is CLIA is the cruise line industry's sort of in association. Their initiative is 14 days prior to sailing. If other cruise lines are doing more than that, that's up to them. But the industry standard has been set at 14 days before embarkation.
Even some countries are jumping on that bandwagon too. They won't let you in the country if you even have a stamp in your passport with China on there within the last, 14 to 20 days.
Well, and that's the interesting thing too, because I've heard people say, well, what if somebody lies? But because of customs, they can't. Right. So that's in your passport. So yeah, there's proof that you were there.
Unless you've got more than one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they always scan your passport. They don't just look at stamps, they scan it.
Yeah. Right. So it's not really the honor system, even though it feels that way.
So at this point, are there any airlines currently flying from the United States to mainland China?
None that I know of. I think everybody stopped.
I think the ones still flying are like Cathay
Pacific.
Yeah. And Singapore Airlines. I was reading I don't think any American airlines are.
Well, Cathay is out of Hong Kong, which still is sort of in a vague area as far as the threat goes. They've had cases, but most of them travelers, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, none of the American airlines are flying right now.
Yeah.
So, and I know, I mean, I have lots of friends and colleagues who had trips scheduled to China. And even if the airlines were flying, their companies wouldn't let them go at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So on the podcast, we talk a lot about travel insurance and how important it is. Is there any aspect of travel insurance that would help our clients deal with the coronavirus and any travel issues they may incur?
I think you would need to call your insurance company, the insurance guy, whoever you bought your policy with, and talk to them directly.
Or whoever you're thinking about buying a policy with. Because I think sometimes cancel for any reason, which is a rider that you can purchase, or even some suppliers, you know, if you buy your cruise, if you buy insurance through the cruise line, it may say cancel for any reason, but that is not actually an accurate term, in that if you cancel for a reason that they claim is not covered, then you are not covered 100%. So even if you have canceled for any reason, you're still going to get something back, but it's not 100%. So you need to understand what you're signing up for, because a lot of them have exclusions that would be of interest to you in this case.
Yep.
Well, and they also recommend, as travel agents, we always recommend having insurance, period, for any trip. Just because if you get hurt and you need to get to medical facilities, or you need to bring your family in, or you need to do those things, though, you need to get back to the United States, or you end up in a hotel because your flight got canceled, that's where insurance comes in.
Well, but I think in this case, you would expect that insurance would cover this. And that, I think it's important to know that not everything is covered. And so there are exclusions, and some policies do exclude events like this. So you would just need to understand what it means for your particular situation. That said, nobody knew this was going to happen. So if you purchased your insurance back in September, and then in December find out that there's this new strain of a virus that nobody expected to have happen, you know, that could be difficult. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't buy the insurance. It just means that it's not ever a 100% sure thing that you can just up and cancel your trip and get all your money back.
And this is where having a travel advisor in your back pocket is a really good thing, because most of us have great relationships with some of these insurance companies. We can get you on the phone with a knowledgeable agent who can explain in detail the things that we don't know.
Right. Or that we are not licensed to discuss.
Not licensed to discuss. Yes.
So with everything we talked about tonight, in terms of personal travel, are any of you curtailing or changing your travel plans in light of this?
No.
Not me either.
No, I'm not. But I wasn't actually planning to go to Asia this year at all, anywhere in Asia in general. So I think, you know, I think the biggest thing I would be worried about is being on a cruise ship. And at this point, that's always a concern. Like, always washing your hands, always sneezing into your arm, always being conscientious of not spreading germs that you have and not picking up germs other people have. I'm going to follow the same practices I always do.
I'm actually taking my family on a cruise this summer, but it's Caribbean, so I'm not very concerned about that.
And I'm going in September. I'm going doing a Hawaiian cruise. So I'm kind of halfway there, but no, we're still going.
Yeah, we're doing Alaska, so still going.
Yeah. I'm not changing any of my plans, but like Elizabeth, I wasn't going to Asia. If I'd been going to mainland China, I definitely would have been looking for an alternative at this point for at least a little while until things calm down. But I still have a couple cruises on the books and a couple trips. And I actually just booked a big group to the Cook Islands today. So I think none of my clients have canceled anything, but I don't have anyone going to China. I didn't have anyone going to China.
Yeah, I take it super seriously. And I think, you know, there's lots of times, you know, wars break out and bad things happen in the world, terrorist actions occur, and none of it has ever deterred me. I do think that I would be serious. This would be something where I might be reconsidering, but
I remember when Zika came out and I had somebody cancel a trip to Disney World because she was pregnant. And even though, you know, there was some cases in Florida, but not in Orlando. I mean, I totally got it. You know, it's like,
this is your child. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's all, it really comes down to, do you feel safe? And if you really are, if you're going to be scared to death the whole time, then that's probably not the best travel situation. You don't have to force yourself to travel. It should be a mind opening experience. And so if you're worried, then it's better not to, to do it. And so I think this is literally the first time in my life with the, we did change our travel plans right after 9/11. We were supposed to go to England, and we did not because we were afraid that something bad would happen as much as the air traffic was so weird still at that time. In those 2 weeks after 9/11, we were worried we wouldn't get back or even get there on time. So we canceled that trip. That's the only other time I've canceled a trip. So yeah, this is definitely, I definitely understand why people, and I was talking to Viking because my clients were, you know, considering canceling, and they will cancel. And it's because personally, they don't feel like they're healthy enough to risk the exposure. Right. Whereas they said to me, I mean, earlier in life, maybe they would have still taken that chance or not been so concerned about it. So
I think that's a big part of it too, is because we all have a different comfort level when it comes to risk and tolerance for risk and how, where you are in your health. I just had surgery, so I probably wouldn't, you know, that would be, but you know, if I hadn't, and I don't think it would keep me from going to Japan. But it really comes down to what you feel safe and comfortable doing. And
it is interesting because I just found out that the Hong Kong Sevens were moved, and Hong Kong Sevens happened in March, the end of March. And it's a rugby tournament. It's a huge tournament and it's a world event. Like, people come from all over the world, both to spectate and to play high level rugby. And they've moved it to October because they could not be sure that people could get to Hong Kong for the tournament in March. So they've moved it. That's a big, huge world event that they've shifted.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So it really is kind of interesting to watch this. And of course, the Summer Olympics are in Japan this year. So Japan has a very, very strong interest in making sure that it does not spread. It is really nice to live in a time when medicine can say, oh, here is this thing. We need to figure out what it is right away and get rid of it. You know, there was a time in the world where
you might not know,
you wouldn't know what to do, you know, let's apply some leeches and hope for the best. And so it's really nice.
Yeah. But if we were in that time, we wouldn't know what was going on in China.
Yeah. We would be flying. It's true. But it really is a miracle. And it's so, you know, I think it should be said that it's amazing that we live at a time where we communicate as a globe as much as we do, and can work together to try and figure this out as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that being said, I know I kind of briefly touched on it earlier, but if you were thinking about Europe or Italy in particular this year, or France, I know that there, one of that article I read in the New York Times, I think it was today, was about some tour operators on the ground in different European cities are experiencing a little hardship because of tourists, their tourism numbers. They were relying so heavily on Chinese tourism.
Yeah.
That now might not be a bad time to go visit a few of these places and maybe experience them with a little less people, and unfortunately because of the circumstances, but you're gonna.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Lindsay, Elizabeth, Sandy, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.